my guest this morning is probably best known for his appearances on the brilliant, on the unrivaled British panel show Nevermind the Buzzcocks. Phil Jupitus has appeared on QI and Have I Got News for You as well. But as well as working as a stand-up comic, the multi-talented Mr. Jupitus is an actor, a poet, a cartoonist, and a podcaster. He's a renaissance man. Phil Jupitus is currently on the road in Australia with his Duplicity Tour, but is headed our way next month. And he joins us now. Good morning.
Hello, Jack. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. How's Australia treating you?
Yeah, what I've made a point of, Jack, is that because last time I came here, it was more like a mugging than doing gigs. It was a very kind of into the country, work, work, work. I was doing a documentary about the comedy festival for Paramount Telly in the UK. So yeah, in between doing my own gigs, I was just making this show about the festival, which is great, and you kind of saw bits and bobs of things, but it was very kind of, we're going here, now we're going there, now we're going there, now we're going there, and it was, you know, time, I never got time to myself. And I made sure I've come out about 4 days early. Firstly, to get over the jet lag, because I'm an old fella now. Secondly, just to see a bit of the place, really. So yeah, I've been around St Kilda, out of Fitzroy. I went to an Aussie Rules game the other day. I've been trying to absorb some actual local culture, you know.
What did you make of Aussie Rules?
Well, it is stupid. 36 men running around a field, isn't it?
That's in a very
informal sense. You know?
It does seem like a great way to run 13 or 14 kilometres without really ever touching the ball.
I mean, there was some. The thing is, because there's so many of them to follow, I would imagine that it's a very easy game to swing the lead if you're you just want to kind of if you want to be a low impact contributor and kind of, you know, be a shouty one rather than a dewy one.
I have a theory on sport and food, and that is that good sport and good food will travel. So there's a reason that you can get pizza and Chinese food in every city on earth. There's a reason that football is played by every country on earth. And there's a good reason that Australian rules is confined to Melbourne.
I was fascinated by this idea because obviously I got chatting to people. There's this notion that they play Irish GAA, Gaelic football.
Yeah.
A team. So Australia will play Ireland in a game that contains the rules of both sports.
Well, don't they play half each?
I have no idea how they do it.
I think they play Gaelic football in the first half, and then they play Australian rules in the second half.
It is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's something, but I did sort of, by the end, I mean, like any sport, you know, like any sport, my kind of, you know, the ground zero approach is you have to be there watching it.
Yeah.
And then you ask the questions and you look at it. When you physically see it, you do kind of understand eventually what is going on.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got it. By the end of it, I think it's certainly, well, what it must be, I mean, in terms of the fitness of these guys, they're running around for 2 hours. And like you say, it is, you know, it's like doing a 1.5, 10K runs. It's like, they don't stop.
No.
No wonder they're so lean, those men. Good grief.
And no wonder they're always sort of being caught in cocaine and methamphetamine busts and that sort of thing. No, I shouldn't say that sort of thing. So when you're on the road then, you actually can disconnect from your work and enjoy yourself. You're not overshadowed by the stress of being on stage.
No, I think that certainly the thing is as you get older, you realise that, you know, and I've been touring in one form or another since 1985 around the world and the UK. And I think that, you know, what happened was I was sort of doing the performing for about 5 years, and then I had the first kid, and then that became the priority thing, really. And so then I was doing comedy and being a dad, and so that kind of just operates a lot of your I would call it RAM space in your head,
you know,
kind of, you know, that space of your memory. And so now, you know, my girls are grown up and I take life a lot slower. I was very aware that I went to all these places in the world and never saw them, and all these amazing cities in the UK and never saw them. So I changed it's a tiny tweak of your habits. And what I do when I'm touring the UK is that I travel after the gig at night. So I come off stage and I do a meet and greet and I shake a few hands and then I get in the car and I drive to the next town.
Yeah.
I drive to the next town and I wake up in the town I'm gigging that night. So I get to spend the whole day. at the place I'm gigging. And so you walk around, you chat to a few people, you just get a sense of the place. And, you know, there's the first 10 minutes of the show, you know.
Well, it's very, I mean, that's a very pragmatic, if not very rock and roll approach.
Dear boy, rock and roll is for the young. And, you know, when you see the, you know, and it's like, oh, I met a local comic yesterday, and she was just broken. And she went, I've been in a hi-fi bar till 6 in the morning for the last 3 weeks. And I'm like, madam, that is not a sustainable lifestyle, you know. She was getting home when I was getting into the swimming pool at the hotel to do me 40 lengths. You know, it's just the way it is.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Yeah, the other thing I was interested about in terms of your anxieties or nerves and lack thereof is that your shows are, I mean, they're not completely informal. It's not like you're going out and making up everything on the spot.
No,
they're flexible, and more flexible than many other comics would have.
Yeah,
is that fair?
It's because it's not written. I think that's the thing. And also because I've got a very, I think, a wandering mind. I'm like, oh, look, shiny things. I'm a bit kind of, I will be distracted by my own brain on stage.
Yeah.
And also, when I think of a funny idea for the first time, it will make me laugh. That weird kind of core of daftness that runs through me as an individual that I can't sort of help in an odd way. And so that certainly informs the on-stage behaviour, shall we say.
Do you trust it, then? You don't ever think, oh, this is funny to me, but this is going to be weird to everyone else.
Yeah, but if you question it, and then you're in a different headspace, and then you become more analytical, and you can't... The thing is being analytical on stage eats into too much of your... There's a bit of your brain you need to let go. And the thing is, if I do something on stage, spontaneous, that doesn't work, then that's something funny to talk about for the next 30 seconds.
Sure.
It's a self-consuming and self-kind-of-fueling mind state to be in. But if you stop and think, what am I going to do in a minute with this bit? As soon as you're in self-awareness on stage, that's when I think the wheels start to come off.
You're in the shtup. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's why I've not done it for years now, and it's a much more relaxed, you know, And it is, to an extent, rolling the dice on the way that you perform, because it being sort of so enthusiasm and mood-driven, I just need to get in that state where I'm relaxed, and I'm looking forward to it, and I'm excited, and I can engage with the audience in a way that keeps me sort of going. The interesting thing about the New Zealand gig, and I've had it in my head now for some time, is that it's entirely possible that this will be my New Zealand debut and farewell show in one gig. It's not out of the realms of possibility that this could be the only time I ever play New Zealand. I very much hope it isn't, but it's not out of the realms of possibility.
Well,
I'm kind of looking at it like this weird snowflake gig.
they call that pulling an Adele. Because she's such a bad flyer. She came here a few weeks ago. She played a couple of shows, and then afterwards they said, well, that's probably it. She's probably never coming back. She doesn't want to fly for 24 hours. Oh.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, okay.
Yeah. There you go. Come on.
Okay. No. So no pressure. No pressure. Is that kind of... It's not that you approach it. It's not a piecemeal approach. That's not a good way to describe it, but it's a trusting approach in your own abilities. And is that the kind of way that you approach your career in a broader sense, because you have done so many different bits and pieces?
I think the thing is the opportunities that are presented when you are a competent stand-up comedy performer that can do other things, has got other things in the skill set, and you aren't kind of protecting a brand, and you aren't focusing on how you sell yourself, and you're not really driven, and you're not a writer. If you are quite loose, and this is a laugh, and I know I'm good at it, that's it. There's that confidence that comes with age in your own abilities, and not being bothered by, you know, the thing is when I go out on that stage, and it's like, and if a gig starts to go slightly awry, the first thought that comes into my head is, you know what, I was booed off once at the Royal Albert Hall, you people have got to do better than this, because I have died on my ass at one of the greatest venues in the world. So
how did that happen?
I made the mistake of Harvey Goldsmith, the legendary UK rock promoter, came to see me doing it, my solo stand-up show, Quadrophobia. And then he asked me to do a gig with The Who.
Oh.
And so I went on in the middle of a Who concert. So I went on after the song Won't Get Fooled Again. And I defy anybody to follow the song Won't Get Fooled Again with your whimsical observations about life as a father, you know. And they were not having it at the Royal Albert Hall, and I'll be honest, neither was I.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
I can just imagine.
You just live and learn, you know.
Sorry to break you away, ladies and gentlemen, but let me tell you about school uniforms. Oh, well, yeah, I could just imagine.
What's the deal with protractors?
Hey, how significant for you has the change been off the back of Buzzcocks finishing? For our listeners who perhaps aren't familiar with the show, never mind the Buzzcocks, is perhaps, in my opinion, the purest, the greatest example of the British comedy panel show in the tradition of Have I Got News For You and QI and My Word and all those brilliant old BBC shows. That must have been a really special thing to have been involved with over the years.
I think that when you're in it and you don't quite, you know, when you're just doing it, and again, it is that counterintuitive thing of don't overthink it. I was chatting earlier today to someone about you know, how long Buzzcocks sort of been going on and what your mind state was with it. And I suppose the thing was that I, for years, because you find yourself on telly as a performer like myself, and you're like, well, this is a laugh, but, you know, I'm very aware that telly is a very transient and fickle medium. And so my mindset from series to series was, well, this will probably be cancelled after this, you know, what telly are like, you know, what telly people are like. And then, you know, you find yourself in year 10 doing the 10th anniversary show, and you're like, really? Lovely, but this will be the last series. And I did that faithfully for 17 years. I went, no, that's not coming back. No, that's we're done now. And I'd say that to the missus. It became a standing joke.
Yeah.
And then the first time I went, you know what, 2 more years of Buzzcocks and I can save up enough money to go to university. And the second I thought, well, it'll be back next year and then I'll do this and then the year after. And the second I made plans, God laughed in my face.
And said, no,
and
no.
The phone call came through and said, yeah, BBC Two have cancelled it.
Guessed it, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a standout guest or memory from your time on Buzzcocks?
Terry Wogan, the radio broadcaster. Just, he's so consummately brilliant. There were no retakes at the end of the recording, and it was the quickest recording we ever did.
Yeah.
That man, without showing it at all, is in his car on the way home about halfway into the... But he's there and present and doing it. But he's... The economy, the skill, the professionalism. I was just blown away by him.
Yeah.
And, you know... And, you know, he's a great and just so much brighter and more brilliant than his persona kind of led you to believe. But he was great, and he was a wonderful, wonderful man, great thinker, and a lovely human being. I miss him to pieces.
Well, honestly, thank you for all your efforts on Buzzcocks over the years, because we might be half a world away, but I have enjoyed season upon season of Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah.
It is brilliant.
Fun to do.
It's great to have you coming to the country as well, and I'm sure now that we know it'll be your first, or it is likely to be your first and last concert.
Who
that should
knows?
Stir. Oh, well,
let's
yeah.
Not, let's not dwell.
Hey, thank you so much, Phil. Stay safe in Australia. It's pretty dangerous, obviously. You don't want to get bitten by anything. And and we will see you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks very much.
That is Phil Jupitus, comedian, actor, poet, cartoonist, podcaster, renaissance man. His new show is Duplicity. It'll be at the Sky City Theatre on Monday, the 1st of May, 2017. All the ticket details are up on our website, newstalkzb.co.nz.